We were just finishing up a series on healing 2 weeks ago, and really, what we were talking about healing in quite a bit, but really, we just finished up talking about faith and just believing God. And we talked about the parable of the sower in Mark 4 there, and that it's what we put in. You know, if we're having trouble believing God, or we're getting down, we're having trouble just believing Him. It's not an act of our will that we just try real hard to believe. A lot of times it's what we're putting in, and just like a seed, is sown, the word is sown, and we receive the word, and Satan's going to try at some point to steal it. If he can steal it immediately, he will. You know, if he can get you distracted while you're reading the Bible, and you know, how many of you have read where you end up reading the same paragraph over and over, the same chapter, you're spaced out. Sometimes you don't even go and read the same word over and over. You just realize that I don't know what I read for the last three paragraphs, but you don't go back and read it. Well, if Satan can get you there, the word's gone. If he can get you, if we're somewhere where we're listening to the word, and he can get you to get distracted by the color of the walls or by the person that's speaking's hair or whatever, and say, I don't really like that guy. You know, I don't like his hair. I don't like his shirt, and get you distracted, he's stolen the word. If he can do it that easily, he'll do it. But if he can do it, if he can't get you that easily, and you receive it, and you say, that's what I've been looking for, I need that, I'm going to go after that, you know, but then you start going that way, and things happen in your life. Not everything's rosy. And so then you say, you know, what the heck is going on? This is nonsense. I thought this was my answer. And so you get offended because of the word's sake, and you throw it away. So if he can get you that way, he'll get you that way. And then there's, we receive the word, we go on, and we start believing it, but then we get distracted on a higher level. We just say, you know, well, I know I should be doing that, but I'm going to do over and do this. Or we get, you know, sidetracked by going after other things. Like it said, the deceitfulness of riches. We start going over here and thinking this is more important than what I've heard. So subtly, we start getting off, and we're not watering what we've received, and so we don't bear fruit. So if Satan can get us like that, he will. He's got a lot of tactics, and he's been at this for thousands of years. He's much smarter than we are in and of ourselves. If we go, you know, man-o-y man or whatever, he's a spirit. If we try to go on ourselves, we're going to get whooped every time. He's been around. He knows people better than any psychologist knows people. He knows what buttons to push. He knows what's going to make you mad. He knows what's going to distract you. He knows what to do to get us to drop the word. Because it's like, you know, it's like the ball in a football game. You're after the ball. You really don't care about the guy. If the guy's in the way, you're going to clobber him. But you're going after the ball. The word's the ball. He's going to try to destroy us. If he destroys our lives, he doesn't care. He knows how to get to us. He's going to try to make us quit, because if we're already in the family of God, if we're already doing something for God, he's going to try to make it so that we don't do any more for the family of God, and that we're going to make fools of ourselves around the people so we destroy our witness. He's going to do whatever he can to destroy, to get to God. Because he hates God, and we're standing in the way. And if we have the word, we're hated too. So, we just got in the middle of it. And if we don't realize we're in the middle of it, he's gonna come after us. And all these things come against us. We get distracted, whatever. He's going after the word. He's going after God. He hates God. But, that parable goes and tells us what happens in our life, how easy it is to get the word stolen. And then it finally says, if we'll receive the word, treat it like a seed, water it, stay on it, don't get distracted, don't get offended, don't, when stuff comes our way because it does everything, doesn't look like it's happening the way we think it should, we stay on God's side. We stay with Him. And if we do that, then it says we'll bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. It doesn't just fall on us. It doesn't just fall on us. Jesus has provided all these promises for us, but we are talking in the context of healing. Healing doesn't just fall on us. If it does, everybody would be just walking divine health. But there's facets to it. We have to know what is ours, and we have to take a hold of it like a bulldog and go after it and just stay on it. And if we do that with any area, if we believe God, find out what God has said, and then go after it and do that with any area, we will see the results. But Satan is going to try to get us to drop it. He will. It's not just because every one of us, is a target. Every one of us, he's going to come to try to make us, to try to get us to waver, to try to get us to say, oh, this doesn't work. It's a bunch of hogwash, whatever. Or to try to get things. Well, I've done everything. I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and everything, it's not working the way I think it should. Well, then what's he saying? He's impugning God's character. He's calling God a liar, but he's not going to tell you that. He's going to say, well, you've done everything. You've heard what it said. You've done that, and it's not working for you. What's going on? That's the voice of the enemy. He's not stupid. He'll get you. He's sly. He is smart in the natural, and if we use natural means, we're going to get beat. If we try to reason, we're going to get beat. But if we throw reason out, we just look at what the Word says. And when we find something in the Word, we say, this is what God says, and we're convinced. We're convinced that this is what the Bible says. If we're not convinced, we need to get convinced. If we have questions, we need to figure them out. Because you can't, if you're not convinced, but somebody else told you that this is what it should be like, so you go ahead and say, well, I'm going to believe God. You're not convinced on your own. We're not convinced. And if we go in and we say, well, this should work, we're not convinced. And guess what? Just like that parable says, that Satan knows that. You don't think he knows that? He's going to try to see if you're convinced, and he's going to push you or make stuff happen where you're weak. And if you're not convinced, it's going to show up. And then it doesn't work. And then we start saying, well, I did everything I'm supposed to do. He'll tell you, whisper in your ear, I've done everything. You've done everything you're supposed to do. What the heck? God, it must not work. God's holding out on you. He'll get you. But if we'll just walk on the side of God, if we'll just find out what God's Word says, get convinced of it. Once we're convinced, stay there. By keeping focused on that, not getting distracted by all these things, not getting offended. If we'll stay there, and regardless of what Satan tells us, regardless of what the reason is, regardless of what he's telling you, regardless of time, stay there, then we're on God's side. Then we've thrown out. See, there's no way you can be defeated at that point because you're just siding with God. God's Word works. It's like a seed coming up. Like we said, it's like a seed that the thing is growing. You can't see it growing. And if you keep ripping it up, it's not ever going to grow. But if you say, it's growing, I believe it's growing. See, I mean, it takes faith. See, we believe it because we've seen it happen. But it's all it is faith. We plant something. We don't see anything. Nothing happened. It doesn't look like anything's happening, but it's working. It's working. And if we choose just to believe that God's Word is working and we don't rip it up and we just keep going and say, no, it's working. And all these thoughts come and all these things say, but God said it. So I choose to believe it's working. If we stay there, we're invincible because we're staying on God's side and we're staying on the Word of God's side. And at that point, it doesn't matter what argument is thrown at us. We can't be shaken. And that's where I wanted to go today is just that part about staying. Because when we find out what the Word of God says and we say, yeah, that's mine, I'm taking it, I believe that, just like salvation, it's exactly like salvation. It's just that in salvation, we've heard it so much that we accept it, but it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. And if we'll stay with it, then we'll see the results. So if we want to turn to Hebrews 10:23, we'll start there. We'll back up, actually, to verse 19. Verse 19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, before we go, this is written to Jewish Christians. This is written to people that were being tempted to give up their salvation. They were being told that it wasn't just by the blood of Jesus, it was by all these other things that they had to do. So people are actually putting pressure on them to give up their faith just in Jesus alone. When we read these verses, that's the context that it's in. So it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith with our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So in verse 23, he said, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. for he who promised is faithful. See, he's saying, let us hold fast the confession. What we said we believe, let's hold fast to that confession. And he's talking about salvation. Don't give in to this stuff that Jesus is not the way. He is the way. Don't give up and decide you're not going to say what you said before. And confession, one definition of it is to say the same thing, to acknowledge, to say basically what you said before, that you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you're holding fast to that. You're saying the same thing that you said. You're confessing, I believe in Jesus, and I'm holding on to that. Now, when you're going down in salvation, I don't know, probably you wouldn't be tempted. If you've heard the gospel at all, what you heard, what we preach, is that it's all through the blood of Jesus. It's not you. You can't lose it. It's through. You can throw it away, but you can't lose it. You can't just like lose it like you lose a wallet. So if I believe God, I believe that Jesus is my Savior, then I'm in the family of God. Now, if you mess up, you blow it, you don't do everything right, probably you're not saying, you know what, I'm not saved today. I don't know if my faith is working to be saved. I don't know if I have the faith to stay saved today. We don't do that if we've heard the gospel. But in other things, healing, whatever we're believing God for, it's easy not to hold fast to the confession. What we said, see, when we believe, we receive something from God and we say, you know what, God, that means is we say, God, I see it. I see that you've promised it to me. So God, I believe you. I believe you regardless of what I see, regardless of anything around me, regardless of what doesn't look right, I believe you. I exalt your word over everything. At that point, we've agreed with God. Now, if some time has passed and we don't see what we believe we should see, at that point, we have to hold fast to our confession. See, in conduct, this is talking about salvation, but it's the same for everything. We have to have the same attitude as we do with salvation. It's no different because everything that Jesus has provided for us is in that package of salvation. And so if we're going along and nothing, things don't look like it's working right, that goes back to that parable. Satan will try to steal when tribulation comes for the word's sake. So everything doesn't look right. So we're tempted to what? Give up our confession and say, instead of saying, you know what? I believe it's working regardless, and saying, that's all confession is. I mean, it's not some religious term. All it is just agreeing with God, and it's not anything magic in and of itself. It's just that your mouth directs where you're going to go in your thoughts. If you let your thoughts and your mouth go the wrong way, just in the natural, just whatever, you are going to go in that direction. People do it all the time. You know, people visualize how they're going to do in sporting events, or visualize how they're going to do in a presentation. I'm going to do this. I can do it. I'm better than this. I can do this. It's the same thing. That's just what God said. All we're doing is agreeing with what God said. God said that this is true. So I don't care what it looks like. This is true. And I'm going to think and believe that this is true. If we don't hold fast to our confession, which is what we said we believed, what we agreed with God, then pretty soon we find ourselves drifting. Pretty soon we find ourselves distracted. And then we don't believe anymore. We've been duped. We've laid it down. We might act like we believe, but we don't anymore. We're not convinced. We've let other things to come in and crowd out the word. And so we believe something else now. So now we don't have the confidence really that God's word is true or what he said is true. We're just playing games now. And you've probably seen it. You've probably seen it in your own life. I know I have. You get to the point where you know this is what you're supposed to do, so you keep going on, but you don't believe. You don't believe God anymore. You've dropped it. You have not. You've quit putting the word, looking at what the word says. You've quit looking at him. You've quit saying the same thing. You've started saying, I don't know. What is going on today? If this stuff worked, it would work. You're blaming God, which we've all probably done. And we're saying, what is going on here? Why isn't this working? Well, we've located ourselves right there. We're thinking it has something to do with us, other than what God said it has to do, which is disbelieve him. At that point, if we would just keep believing him, then we're on God's side. But if we start saying, no, I haven't done enough, why isn't this working? Then we show that we don't understand that the only thing we're supposed to do is believe. See, it's not about getting in the Word. Just the only reason you get in the Word is to keep yourself so that you believe that it's Jesus. See, yeah, I've heard of people, great men of God, they go, they said when they went to believe for healing, they would read all the healing scriptures and then pray. Do you know why they did that? People have made a religious thing out of that, that I have to do that or it's not going to work. No, if you believe it and you're convinced, pray. But if you're not convinced and you've had all this other stuff, we live in the world. Stuff tries to bombard us. The world doesn't believe there's a God that heals. The world doesn't believe that there's a God that's going to take care of us. So you've seen all this. You've been around stuff. You just want to make sure that you're convinced at that point. If you're sure, there's nothing left to do. It's not a religious thing that you have to go and read all this stuff and make sure then it'll work. No, then your faith is not in what Jesus has done. It's in what you're doing. And when you get to that point, you get beat real easy because none of us are perfect. We'll do something wrong and then we'll say, why doesn't it work? If we're asking why doesn't it work, then we don't really believe it's just God's word and what Jesus did and that all we have to do is believe it. What we should change that to is it's working. I don't see it, but see, the fact that I don't see it does not change the fact that it's working. Because if it's God's word and it's working, it didn't change because of a few hours going by or a few days going by or something that looks contradictory. It didn't change God's word. God's word was written. I mean, this Bible was written thousands of years ago, but God's word is eternal. And so if it's right, it's right. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We need to just stay on it and say, no, it's working. At that point, we believe. And if we're tempted not to believe, then we say, you know what? I just want to look back and remind myself that this is true. Because all this stuff is trying to tell me it's not. And I'm just going to stick my face there so that all I'm seeing is what the Word says. And if all I'm seeing is what the Word says, that becomes easier to focus my attention on. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we read scriptures. It's not a religious exercise that we've made it sometimes, especially like in faith circles, that it becomes we have to really build our faith. No, you only have to build your faith if you don't have faith. If you don't have the faith, if you don't believe, that's when you have to build it. But if you've believed it and you've said it's mine, then all you have to do is hold fast till you see it. Is two different things. And what we've done is many times we've put ourselves in the mode of building faith when really we've believed, but we've just gotten duped out of it over and over. We've believed, and Satan knows that, and he comes, punches you sideways and tries to make you, you know, with some circumstance or whatever, and you say, oh, I must not have enough faith, so I'm going to go back. Because you're tempted to waver at that point. You're tempted to doubt at that point. So you think, if I'm tempted to doubt, I must not have enough faith. So I got to go back and read and read and read. You're just in the circle at the beginning and you never get past it. Instead of believing that, and I believe and I'm going to stick to it. Something comes. No, it's still true. I'm going to stick to it. I believe it. Don't get, and let, you know, if you're convinced, stay convinced. Just stay there. Just stay convinced. Hold fast to the confession of your hope, what you expect to see. Hold fast. Hope means expectation. You expect to see it. I expect to see it. I have an image in my mind of what it's going to look like. I have a blueprint in my mind of what it's going to look like. Then don't move. You're going towards it. Just stay there. If you're building a house and you have a blueprint, if the foundation's just gone up, the house isn't completed, but it's going towards that, don't tear down the foundation. You know, if you put up the siding and it's looking pretty good, but the interior, you know, you haven't punched it out. You know, you haven't finished it up. You haven't done the carpet and the doors. You haven't stained it, whatever. Don't rip it down. It doesn't look like where you're going yet, but just stay on there. Don't hold fast to the confession of your hope. Stay on there. We just stay on there till we see it. That's what this verse is talking about in salvation. And it's the same thing with any other part of faith, that we just stay with God. Now we're going to read a couple more verses and we'll go on. Mark 11, 23, 24. It says in let's go back to verse 22. Now this is the whole story of the fig tree. We'll go back to verse 12 just to keep it in context. 11, 12. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now skip down. So they go into the city, and now skip down to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So this fig tree, for if you're not familiar with the story, this fig tree is there, and it looks like it has leaves, and it looks like you should be able to eat of it. It doesn't have any fruit, so Jesus curses it and says, no one's going to eat of you ever again. Apparently, nothing happened. I mean, another gospel says immediately it dried up, but apparently it didn't just dry up there. It may have started to dry up, and I believe it did, but it didn't just dry up because they went on. In the morning, they come by, and Peter, remembering that Jesus had cursed it, says, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answers and says, so have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. So if you believe it, like we said, if you're convinced, if you're not convinced. Get your questions answered. This is not a game. We're not listening to somebody and just say, well, yeah, that sounds good, so I'm going to try it. We'll get beat. You know, if we don't know it, if you're studying for a test, if you've been to college, if you don't know something, you don't act like you know it, because you know when you get to the test, what? You're not going to know it. What's going to happen? You're going to probably flunk the test. It's not a game. You know it in that context. If I don't know it, I don't know it. I'm not prepared. I'm not going to get a good grade. But what do? We make this a religious game. We hear some guy or something and that sounds good. We say, oh yeah, it sounds good. I believe that. We don't really believe. We have questions because of our background, something in there. We say, well, what about that? What about that? It doesn't matter. It'll work. No, it won't. We'll get beat. Because when the test comes, when tribulation comes for the word's sake, we're going to get convinced. Don't think Satan doesn't know where those things are, where the weak points are, where the fault lines are, and he's going to hit them. He's going to beat us. We've all been there. You find out if you believe or not, because we throw up our hands and say, no, I don't. So be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done. Then he will have whatever he says. There's two things here. He says, here he's talking about saying it. He says, if you say to this mountain, if you say to something in your life, just be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, so he's just talking about saying it. He says, if you believe that those things you say will be done, it will be done. When you say, it doesn't say it's going to be done immediately, but it says it will be done. So in between, when you say it will be done, and it is, that's when you hold fast your confession. That's when you just say what God says. It doesn't matter what happens. You say, God, I believe you. I believe you. I don't care about this. I don't care what it looks like. I still believe you. Right through everything. It doesn't matter what is in the circumstance. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter anything around you. You say, no, I believe what you say. And then we get to that final part. He will have whatever he says. Same thing, therefore, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, believe that you receive them. When you pray, when you're asking God, you say, you believe that you receive them at that point. At that point, you believe that they're yours. And then you will, future tense, have them. It might be a little bit, it might be 30 seconds, but regardless of the time, you believe that you have them. When you stop and say, I'm not seeing it, too much time has passed, so I must have done something wrong, then you weren't basing your faith on what the word says. You were basing it on something else, because the word didn't change at that point. And we've all been there. It's easy to do that. But if we'll just stay on God's side, we'll see it. God will make, he is never going to quit on us. He knows that if we've believed him, he's not going to let us down. Ever. So we just stay on his side and we'll get what we've prayed for. Now let's read one more scripture and we'll close with this. 1 John 5:14 through 15. So verse 14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So if we know what his will is, if we're convinced that's what his will is, we know that this is what God wants for me, not some crazy thing out in left field, but we know that that's what he wants for us. He hears us. So now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So if we know that he hears us, if we believe that God hears us, if we believe that Jesus was the one that made us right with him, if we believe that God loves us just like he loves Jesus, in John 17, 23 or 26, somewhere in there, if we believe that God loves us, that God is there with us, that if you think of it this way, if there's somebody you know that loves you on this earth, somebody you know loves you, would just imagine that person. If that person had it in their power to help you, would they, if you said, "Can you help me?" If you had some disease or you had something going on with your body and you said, they were in the room, "Can you help me?" They had the power to help you. Can you imagine them turning you and go, "No, you haven't done enough. You haven't done what you need to do. I'm not going to do it." If you know that person loves you, that would be, you wouldn't think no. You know, if it was my spouse, they had the power to do something for me, they would do it. I don't have any doubt. Whether I'd been the best husband that day or not, they would do it. Jesus doesn't love us any less. God does not love us any less. And if we believe that he hears us when we pray, and it's his will what we're asking, then there's no doubt that we have whatever we asked. We have it. It's ours. Whether we see it or not, we have it. Because he's given. He's not going to withhold from us. He's given it to us. And at that point, we just hold fast to our confession. We say the same thing that we said at the beginning. We keep on. We believe God. We just glorify God by saying it. Not thanking God as some religious exercise. Well, okay, now I've asked. Now I'm supposed to just thank God. Okay, thank God, thank God, thank God, until I see it. It's not. No, that's just to keep your mind on so your faith stays strong. It's not a religious exercise. It's not something we do that's step number three. It's not to get results. It's so that our mind stays focused where it's supposed to be and our faith stays strong, because our faith is what receives things from God, but God did not, our faith does not put the things there to receive. Jesus did. Jesus provided the healing. Jesus provided whatever it is. Our faith is just saying, "Yeah, that's mine." And if our faith is not strong, if our faith is not, you know, "I don't know. Is it mine or is it not? I don't know." You know, it's not strong to say that's mine. Then we don't have what it, our faith just grabs what's sitting there on the shelf. You know, Jesus has put everything on the shelf. All we have to do is say, "Yeah, I believe that's mine. I take it." But if we don't believe it, or we believe it's this shelf over here, if we think, "Oh, I can't get in the store," or whatever, then we won't take it. So if we're saying, "No, I thank God I take it. I thank God I take it. I thank God it's mine," we're just staying focused and keeping our faith built up so that we can receive what God, by his grace, has already provided. And then we see results, and then we see what God has. But in between, when we receive it by faith and we see it, we just need to stay focused, keep our faith strong, and keep saying the same thing. Now, I said this before. It's the same thing. Do any of you know personally? You may. But do any of you know personally anybody that's been to heaven and can vouch for the fact that when you die, you're going to heaven and that you're going to meet Jesus face to face? Has anybody ever talked to Jesus face to face? And you know that for a fact. You've met him. He said, "Yeah, everything in the Bible is true. If you believe me, I'm going to see you, you know, in probably less than 100 years, so pretty soon." Do you ever, you have anything like that assurance? The only thing you have is this, to tell you that. And we're basing our eternal destiny on this. Yet we come to stuff that's less, and we don't see it. We haven't seen our salvation, but we haven't seen something right away, and we say, "Oh, it doesn't work." Well, if we believe that, man, we're in trouble. If we back up and if all we have is the word to base our salvation on, if we back up to that point and we think, "Well, we haven't seen anything, but I know that's true." Are you sure? Or are we just accepting it? Because we've accepted that. We believe. We don't doubt because we haven't had anything shake it. Because it's not have to do with our body or whatever. But when we walk in this earth, We have stuff that tries to shake those things. So we just need to put it in the same category, say, you know what? I believe God. I believe he's my savior. I believe he's my healer. I believe, you know, he's my provider. I don't see it. I believe it. And the reason I see it, or the reason I believe it, is because it's in the word, nothing else. That means it's not up to me. It's up to him. I believe it. I just believe what he's done. I take it. And then we just keep that attitude, hold fast, and we see it.